first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everyone to Spouting Off. I'm so happy to be at my home studio and my home show. I've been doing radio all morning, so I'm revved up and raring to go. Glad to have you with us. If you're listening live to our program, probably on www.wsmnlive.live, out of Nashua, New Hampshire. We have many people that pick up the show after the fact. But if you're listening to live 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain, and so forth and so on, you can call in at 603-816-1590. Take down that number. So if you happen to be listening live, and you can do that easily enough, we still welcome and love callers whenever we get them. And we know that we have listeners who write me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. And I will write you back. I love hearing from listeners, knowing how not only we're doing, but I guess I'm kind of an old school kind of gal when it comes to talk radio. I love the classic talk radio in which people from all walks of life call in, exercise their First Amendment rights to express their opinion, to disagree, to dissent, and to do it in real time with someone who's on the radio speaking over a microphone. That is one of the unique, beautiful things about talk radio. As you know, things have kind of progressed into video, and that is just fine. Somebody has to hold the fort down on audio, listener involved live talk radio. And we always do this show live, which is a great thing. Even if the show gets picked up later for tape or re-air, I'm just giving you a little inside baseball of talk radio, we still love to uphold and do a show live. Because you never know what happens when you're doing something live. That kind of went by the wayside in television too. If you remember, actually, it's well before my time, but one of the great comedy sketch shows long before Saturday Night Live was a show called 10 from Your Show of Shows. I don't remember if it was 10 from, but it was called Your Show of Shows with Sid Caesar. All of the great writers who became household names later, Carl Reiner, Sid Caesar, Mel Brooks was a writer on that show. And Neil Simon, by the way. I love that kind of trivia. I really, really do. And they did that show live. So when people broke each other up or when they flubbed a line or when there was a technical problem, whatever, they just kept on going on, because they were professionals. But this is kind of, it's not really walking a tightrope, but it's way fun to do a show on a station like the wonderful 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM in Nashua, New Hampshire, that puts our show on as a kind of a, I don't know the exact reason they do it, but it is. I'm glad they do, because it is a support of live call-in talk radio, listener participated, based on the proposition that opinions are like derrieres. Everyone has one. And everyone has a right to be heard and to be listened to. That doesn't mean they have a right to be agreed with, but they do have a right to be heard. And that's what talk radio is all about. So what's on my mind? In this first segment, we have a couple of great guests, as we want to do. And as we build our audience, we'll have more callers and more live talk radio and maybe fewer guests. You never know. I certainly don't like to monologue at you for a whole year, a whole hour. I definitely don't want to do it a whole year. I've been doing it for years, but I want to do it a whole year. But we have a great guest to bring you, and we love having them. We also love having your opinion and your ideas as well. So what's on my mind? The big news, as you were listening on the station news, is that Joe Biden is now being called out for having documents, classified documents, as a vice president that were found. Now there's even more being found. And because I tend to look at things these days somewhat invertedly from what we used to when we depended on the media to report the news instead of tell us what we are supposed to, only the news they want us to know, and then the spin they want to give us, I look at it a different way, and I think many of you do too. After a track record of constantly orchestrating news items for the public's consumption and trying to sway and manipulate public opinion towards their own agendas. One is to demonize Donald Trump as being unfit for office, even though the presidential potted plant residing in the office right now cannot find his way to the White House bathroom. But we're supposed to ignore all that and just listen to what the media tells us. We're not supposed to think for ourselves. We're not supposed to disagree. If we do, we're called all manner of horrible, hateful, bigoted, and intolerant, to coin a phrase, names. I don't think it's very tolerant, for example, for a president of the United States to label well over half of the citizenry that he is supposed to have been elected to serve, remember that word, serve, calling them domestic terrorists, semi-fascists, and scaring the hell out of the public to be afraid of their neighbor when there's cause to be afraid, to be concerned about the government's power and the media that is pretty well co-opted by them. We've found evidence of that on Twitter and elsewhere. And you can no longer say, this is an aside, I'm getting off the subject, you can no longer say that these are private companies when government agencies are directing the censorship of American citizens through private companies as their proxy. So, what do I think about what's going on with Biden? Yes, we can talk all about the hypocrisy of the two-tier justice system that Donald Trump was accused of having classified documents, even though that has not been proven. And the media and the leftist machine has a track record of framing Donald Trump and posing all kinds of accusations of Donald Trump with absolutely no evidence. Do I think Donald Trump is perfect? Absolutely not. But if he accepted the agenda that Biden so readily accepts, and if he did even a fraction of what Biden did and Trump was actually accused of doing the same thing, he'd get a pass. The question is, why is Joe Biden not getting a pass now? Why are these stories beginning to bleed into the propaganda media? And suddenly, did they change their mind about doing their job? Did they suddenly decide that they were going to just report the facts and let the chips fall where they may? Heck no! Here's what I think could very well be going on. And that is, I think the whomevers, that's what I like to call them, the whomevers, are ready to offload Joe Biden right after he said, yeah, I'm running. I'm definitely running. What is he going to be? You know, he's going to be well into his 80s, and he looks every inch of it, including that his memory and his ability to speak or even read a teleprompter is legendary at this point. And it's the poorest kept secret. The media keeps telling us how wonderful Joe Biden is, and then we watch him and we say, really? Are you kidding me? The poor man can't even talk, which I've always felt was a symbol of the contempt that the whomevers have for you and me to try and pass this guy off as a competent example of someone who ought to be in control of the free world. Unfortunately, there's a group of people that are making those decisions, and most of them, we don't know their names. That's why I call them the whomevers. But the whomevers, I think, are going to make sure that Joe Biden does not run for re-election in 2024. Now, the interesting thing is that they could get him not to run easily enough. There was a very, very brief thing he said in an interview that was a throwaway line that most people forgot when he said, well, if I don't do what I'm told, if I don't do, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'd have to look it up. If I don't hold the party line, again, that's not exactly what he said, I'm gone. So he knows, he was told, he's told, you do what you're told, you say what you're supposed to say, or you're gone. Why would they make a big, huge deal about this suddenly to report something when they ignored the Hunter Biden laptop story for 2 years and which affected the 2020 election? Many people said they wouldn't have voted for Joe Biden if they found out just a tiny fraction of how phenomenally corrupt he was. He was the big guy taking major payoffs from communist China. Can you imagine 10 years ago, 14 years ago, 24 years ago, 30 years ago, a person like that not only remaining in office, but having the media cover for him? So why is it suddenly that the media is no longer covering for him? As a matter of fact, there was a billboard that was reported upon a couple of blocks from the White House, put up, I believe, by Democrats that said, don't run Joe, don't run Joe. So they're putting all the pieces in place. This is orchestrated, not to say Biden isn't guilty, but ask yourself, what's going on here? We got to take a quick break. I got to leave it there. We're going to have a great guest when we come back, tell you all about him. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Gadolin.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. So good to have you along with us at my home show, Spouting Off. It's not that rare, actually, when I have just interviewed someone for one show, and then I get to interview them again for a totally different audience. And such is the case today. In fact, I requested him for one, got him for the other, and boy, he is a gutsy speaker, and we have him on the line right now. He's founding partner of Finance Technologies, a global macro alternative investment firm. And in the past, he has worked for BlackRock and founded Ocean Square Asset Management. And he has a new book called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. Edward Dowd joins us here on Spouting Off. Welcome once again, Edward. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on your show today, Karen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so, you know, this is how it was pitched to me. And I even got into a mild disagreement with a relative about whether or not we should be asking, so what exactly did happen to Damar Hamlin? We were so relieved and delighted to know that he survived a horrific cardiac arrest, a heart attack, in which he seems to have recovered. But the media is amazingly dropped the story, not talking about why a 24-year-old young man in the middle of a football game on NFL, and this is not the only story like that. In fact, there are numerous others. We'll be talking about it. Suddenly falls down his heart stops. People want to know, but just like Babylon Bee, it is the thing people are thinking but are not allowed to talk about. What say you, Ed Dowd?
So when this happened last week, I was asked for a comment because I've written a book called Cause Unknown that documents many sudden athletic deaths that are different and not normal since 2021. In my public comment, I said, I don't comment specifically on individual cases, but I can say that there was a study done in 2006, the Los Angeles study, that documented, it's not exhaustive, but it's as close as we can come, to a 38-year study of sudden athletic deaths on the field. 1,101 over 38 years, average is 29 a year. Karen, we'd be lucky to have a month since 2021, which has 29 sudden athletic deaths. There's hundreds and hundreds in my book. It's not exhaustive. And this is a phenomenon that is way up in frequency. And yes, it did occur before 2021, but so infrequently, most of us really went through our lives not thinking about it that much. Now it's everywhere you look. Just last weekend, I live on Maui, in the state of Hawaii, an 18-year-old MMA fighter dropped dead. She was a female.
A woman. Yes.
A woman. Tragic.
Yes. Yes. And we're treating it as if this is normal, and it's not. Here's a meme that somebody sent me. Tell me if you either heard this or if this comports to be accurate from your point of view. 1970 to 2020, 1,312 athletes suffered from cardiac arrest and died. From 2021 to 2022, that the other was 50 years, this is 1 year, 1,598 athletes suffered from cardiac arrest and died. Does that sound accurate?
Those numbers sound in the ballpark. Again, we have the Los Angeles study, 1,101 athletes over 38 years. And there's detailed in my book, just hundreds and hundreds. My book is not exhaustive. That number sounds about right. I'm not going to 100% say it's correct. But look, folks, open your eyes. These stories are occurring with quite alarming regularity. We don't need to debate what the number is. And I wrote a book that starts with sudden athletic deaths, those who died in their sleep, celebrities that have dropped dead on stage. And then I examine the metadata, which suggests we have a serious problem in this country and the globe, actually.
Yeah. And we're talking to Ed Dowd right now. And courageous. It shouldn't be courageous to report facts and allow people to decide for themselves, but help people to make a potential connection, because if this is true, this is one of the most horrific crimes against humanity, and a crime that's easy to get away with, because how do you make that connection, if you do, between this phenomenon that nobody's ever seen before? And these are just the public figures, not to mention all the people that are dying in the in the prime of their life who are not famous. How do you make that connection, if you do, between that and the jab?
So I examined metadata, and what I mean by metadata is big groups of individuals that point to a trend. I'm a trend, in the stock market, I analyze trends. I figure out new trends, and I try to figure out trends before the rest of the crowd. And the trend I found is this. There was a report done by the Society of Actuaries in August of this year that came out that looked at 2021 excess claims in their group life policyholders, which are some of the most healthy amongst us in the country. They have done studies in the past that proven that their group is healthier than the general population. And in 2021, that relationship flipped. Their group life policy members experienced 40% excess mortality. These are ages 25 through 64. That's a number that's really off the charts. 10% is a once in a 200-year flood. 40% is insane. And they took on losses, and they're continuing to take on losses. And the general U.S. population experienced excess mortality in 2021 of 32%. So that's an 8-point difference for a group that's generally more healthy than the overall population. When you look at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and the disability data, it also confirms what I just said. Something's going on with the employed population of our country. And when you break down the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics disability data, we find that the employed had a 31% increase in their disability rate starting in February of 2021, while the general U.S. population had 8%. And when you look at the not in labor force, those are the people who left the labor force who were working, they had the best health outcome. Their health outcome was only a 4% increase in their disability rate. So we suspect those are the people who were fired for not taking the jab because of mandates and or quit because they didn't want to take the jab. So I went to Washington, D.C. not that long ago in December. I was on a panel with a bunch of esteemed doctors talking about COVID vaccine safety. And I said to Senator Ron Johnson that something has gone on in the last 2 years that has detrimentally affected the most able-bodied amongst us, and health outcomes have reversed. And at the very least, let's say I'm wrong. This needs to be investigated because it's a national security issue. Those who are the most fit and able-bodied are dying at a higher rate and getting disabled at a higher rate than the general U.S. population. So just assume I'm wrong. Why is no one talking about this in the mainstream media or from our health authorities? I think you know why.
Well, and if you add that to what I find to be one of the greatest horrors ever, is that even, you know, the radical left used to say, even if it would save one life, isn't it worth it, right? And yet, the growing concern about these mRNA shots, they are not vaccines because they didn't do anything that they were designed to do. Supposedly, people who took the shot were vulnerable to the virus from people who didn't take the shot, which is the exact opposite of what the shot was sold to people to do. If you took the shot, you were supposed to be less vulnerable, but somehow people who didn't take the shot are spreading the disease, which was an upside down lie. That being said, I kind of got off the subject there. You've got people who people are suspicious of this shot, and it is not only still readily available, it is still being pushed on people. You can still get it for free at the taxpayer's expense at your local grocery store pharmacy. I am reminded of the Tylenol scare of 1982. When five people died in Chicago, and there was a huge, massive push to pull every bottle of Tylenol off the shelves. What's going on from that perspective? How can people not see that behavior and wonder why something potentially deadly and dangerous and certainly ineffective is being pushed and forced and not being removed from the market?
Well, unfortunately, the world has changed as we know it. Back when the Tylenol scandal occurred, media was less consolidated. There wasn't as much of a fusion between corporations and government. And if we go back to the 70s, we had a swine flu vaccine that only had 25 deaths, and it was pulled from the market. Now we have in VAERS alone, the Vaccine Adverse Event Safety System, it's got over 15,000 deaths. And some of the doctors who've been maligned throughout this whole process have said that that set off a signal in February of 2021 that should have removed the product from the market. So the question everybody needs to ask themselves is, why are the government authorities, the media, and the tech platforms not allowing this information to get out? I suspect it's because they were on board early and the momentum train took off, and now they can't stop it, and they're all complicit in one way or another. And it's classic criminal behavior to continue to act as if nothing's going wrong. I've seen this in corporation after corporation that where fraud was found. They didn't stop until they were actually like arrested. So my advice to people, if you don't believe I'm correct, at the very least, you should ask yourself this. You took a product that was sold to you as preventing transmission and preventing you from getting COVID. It does neither of those. So why would you take a product that was sold under false premises and continue to take it with safety issues and concerns? So I just want to put a seed of doubt in those who don't maybe buy what I'm saying, but why would you take a product that doesn't even work as advertised? This has to stop. My goal in writing the book was to get the message out and help people make decisions on information that, quite frankly, this is the kind of information that I would make money with on Wall Street before everybody else knew, but I'm putting it out there for everybody to hear.
And we so appreciate you speaking out and saying what's on your mind, as we all must do. What I'm finding, if some of our suppositions are right, we're going to see more and more death because hasn't something like 60% or more of the entire population been jabbed at this point? What is the number there? Do you know?
You know, we don't have, that's one of those funny things. And it's anywhere between 60 and 80%. I've never seen a great number on this. And the government, during the heat of the vaccine push in 21, we suspect they may have lied about the actual uptake.
Gee, could that happen?
Yeah.
Imagine. They lied. Sorry.
Lied to make us think if you didn't take it, you were alone. So I'm hopeful the number is 60 rather than 80.
I am too. So first they exaggerated the number of deaths from COVID. They underreported the damage and death from the vax. And so one can see how one was used to push the other. But the ramifications of even thinking that is so excruciatingly painful for people that that's one of the reasons why they don't believe it. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to believe it, but you understand what I mean? It's the indictment of watching their actions, not their words. Why would anybody allow something potentially dangerous and damaging to remain on the market to continue to harm people when those people, and we already talked about that, those people were not just encouraged to take a jab, but without informed consent, coerced, bullied, and intimidated. And then they told people who did not take it, who were conscientious objectors, that there was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. How indicted does one have to be to look at those facts?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. My job on Wall Street was to sit in front of CEOs and CFOs of companies that were trying to pitch their stocks to my firm and myself. And one of the things that I use to discern the difference between the lies coming out of their mouths was their actions. Okay. So a lot of times I was ahead of the crowd because I watched what they do, not what they said. So to those of you out there that took this jab and are in kind of cognitive dissonance, just remember you've been lied to this whole throughout the whole process. Everything that you've been told is not true. And at the very least, the product doesn't work. So why would you continue to give these people the benefit of the doubt? Watch what they do, not what they say, and just stop taking these drugs because
we got to wrap it up there. I'm so sorry. Boy, I could talk to you another hour. Edward Dowd, author of the book Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 21 and 22. We'll have to have you back and talk about finances. That's interesting. People are concerned about that too. Thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off. We hope to be in touch with you soon.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Edward Dowd. Well, we have a return guest. Eric Karen joins us after the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Kelly was a black Welcome Jackie. Back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline, happily with you today, as always, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern. So the border has been but one issue that has been the enormous number of illegals flooding through our border, our basically porous border, is among a huge number of issues that are policies are being imposed upon us that are extra governmental, extra constitutional. The government is violating laws that are on the books in order to open our borders. And someone who is immensely qualified to talk about that is Eric J. Karen, a dynamic former U.S. diplomat. Let me learn how to talk here. U.S. special agent for 25 years who successfully conducted managed covert operations relating to national security, transnational crime, and money laundering. He's held senior positions within Homeland Security and Interpol. Wow. Eric's accomplishments have been highlighted by media outlets from around the world and received the U.S. Attorney General's Award for his endeavors in furthering the interest of U.S. national security. Eric Karen, an honor to have you with us. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, Karen, what an honor to be on with you. I look forward to this conversation.
Yes, I have been for a long time. So here's the question. Is President Joe Biden, who's busy talking about his own classified documents, and that's another story we may or may not get into, is he ignoring his constitutional duty not to secure our borders? Because that is his constitutional duty, right?
Absolutely. You know, America, we learned the lesson, hard lesson on 9/11, that the president's number one responsibility, Karen, is to protect our butts. And our government failed us on 9/11. We lost nearly 3,000 Americans, 10,000 people injured, hundreds of thousands of people affected psychologically. The world came to a standstill, all because of what? 19 individuals who exploited our immigration system. So all these numbers, Karen, that we hear about, you know, the gotaways and how many entered legally or illegally, the 20,000, the 50,000, 100,000, one may be too many. One is too many when your father, your mother, your brother, your sister dies at the hands of a legal alien. One is too many when a would-be terrorist, suicide bomber walks onto a train and detonates. One is too many when a suicide individual bomber brings in a WMD agent. You know, the Germans just over the weekend arrested two Iranians planning to attack German. with WMD agents, ricin, and other chemicals. The Brits, just in the last 2 weeks, reported that at Heathrow, they discovered uranium coming into London, destined to another Iranian in London. The package originated in Pakistan through Oman into the UK. That's just been reported in the last 48 hours. The bottom line is, Karen, America needs to get switched on and understand that border security equals national security, full stop.
You know, Eric, in light of all the other things, and of course I could give a laundry list and you're right there with me, that reflect the current administration's reckless disregard for innocent life.
Yes.
Everything from opening the prisons and shutting people in their homes, law-abiding citizens, everything from putting a very questionable, dangerous, damaging shot, continuing to keep it on the market, which we just spoke about, and ignoring any efficacy and, you know, ignoring ways for people to stay safe. It seems as if everything they told us, not only in COVID and everything else, was designed to put people in harm's way instead of keep them out of harm's way. So with that in mind, the hardest thing to get our brains around is that our government could have malicious intent towards us. But what else are we to think with a porous open border when people get killed like Kate Steinle and many, many, many others? And you mentioned 9/11. What else are we to think? And even a harder question for someone like you, what can we do about it?
Yeah. Well, you know, George Washington said it best, guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism. Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism, George Washington. The Democrat Party, I call it now the Communist Democrat Party, the CDP. I mean, that's not hyperbole. Look what happened to our nation over the last just the two and a half, three years. I mean, our government is controlling our thoughts and our actions. I mean, they're partnering with social media outlets to control what we read and what we think. Basically, it's a PSYOP operation. You know, the CIA does it well. They have a whole division dedicated to it in Langley that wants, you know, they want to affect people's emotions and motives and objectives. That's been going on here in America. That can't stand. And what can happen now, what the American people should do, right, is start electing officials who are mindful of their First Amendments, who care more about their freedoms than their next election. I think it's important, Karen, to say that as Americans, we either hang together or we hang separately now.
Well, I hate to stir the pot and stick a wrench in the works, but when you do have a CDP or a CCP, whatever, you've got a regime that wants to control elections and give the illusion that the people are electing their officials. The very fact that among the list, the growing list of ideas and opinions that you're not allowed to have, opinions that you will be demonized and maybe even bumped off and fired for explaining, you're called a denier if you question the honesty and integrity of our elections, which should make everyone suspicious about the honesty and integrity of our elections. So what do we do there when you just said, well, we have to elect people who remember the Constitution? We now have government bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats, and politicians who are trying to dismantle the Constitution.
Yeah, well, we need to. You're absolutely right, Karen. We need to bring these people before Congress. We need to we need to peel back the onion one layer at a time, and hopefully Congress will show the American people. They have to show the American people what's been happening over the last few years. the deep state and what's been happening to our freedoms and how they've been operating. It can't stand. You know, I'm calling for a colonoscopy of the FBI, of the CIA. I mean, really, I mean, I think the FBI should be abolished. The CIA should be, I got good friends in both agencies, but we know what's been happening with both those agencies. The CIA and the FBI, you know, essentially they've been trampling all over our rights. It's unfortunate, but they need a colonoscopy, a total cleansing. And that's the bottom line.
A colonic, you know, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what? And where appropriate, charges need to be levied against individuals who trampled on our First Amendments. Was it Fauci or the FBI officials who lied to the American people, or CIA officials or NIH officials? Whoever it is, people have to be held accountable for their criminal actions. Bottom line, for the American people to regain trust in its government. Right now, we've lost trust in our government.
Totally. And it's appropriate to have done so, because among the hardest things for people to get their brain around is that their government is untrustworthy and has it in for them. What I was going to ask you was how frustrating is it to watch Republicans fight against either getting rid of the FBI, which is long time coming, and cleaning house? When you've got Republicans fighting against it, doesn't it expose them as enabling the communists in our government?
Yeah, well, you're right. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's corruption on both sides of the aisle. I mean, these guys who've been in office for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, I spent 5 years in Washington, 1 year in congressional affairs. I've been to the deep state. I've seen the deep state, and it's not pretty. These officials need to go. And some people talk about term limits. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. These people get in power, and it's corrupt. It's corrupted them, unfortunately, and they're not doing the work for the Americans. They're doing the work for the defense contractors and lobbyists, but they're not doing it for the middle class people on the street here. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Eric, with your immense experience and what you've seen that the average person would never see, the inside of things like Interpol, it just makes your eyes glaze over. But from my very unsophisticated view, I keep thinking about the theme of Faust. You know, the theme of how easy it is when it's a self-selected group that's after power, money, recognition, fame, and whatever. The minute they get to Washington, or their unelected bureaucrats, we don't even know their names, it's so easy to corrupt them, because they already give people who are ambitious to serve and who seek power colonoscopy. They know their great weaknesses. They know what motivates them. Is it money? Is it power? Is it just getting reelected? Is it sexual proclivities? Whatever it is, they use the carrot and the stick. You're either going to do as we say, and you'll get enriched, but you'll sell your soul to the devil, or we're going to give you the stick. Is that accurate for this, you know, layman person?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's just look at the Biden crime family. Joe Biden, it's a perfect example, Karen. Joe Biden has been in office for what, 40 years? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
And so he's enriched himself, just like the Clintons and just like Obama. They've enriched themselves with hundreds of millions of dollars, three or four or five houses and boats and cars, and God only knows how much the balance in their bank accounts, you know, maybe. But Joe Biden is a perfect example. He's enriched himself, and of course the Hunter Biden as well. I mean, Hunter Biden, you know, is worth a few hundred million dollars now. You know, he was appointed positions he had no experience for. And, you know, and that's a whole nother issue with the Bidens and the CIA and the FBI. My question, Karen, and it's going to come out, what did the CIA know and when do they know it? Because, yeah. Karen, I got to tell you, there's the odds are probably 100% that Hunter Biden was working hand in glove, that there was a symbiotic relationship between the CIA and Hunter Biden relating to China.
Heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And not just the most visible people, all kinds of so-called elected officials. Look at Eric Swalwell. Mm-hmm. Having a Chinese communist spy as one of his trusted advisors. And was it Barbara Boxer? Or I mean, had a Chinese spy driver. And this is being done in full view. Think what's happening that is not in full view. In our last couple of minutes, I would love for you to, it's a huge question to lay on you at the end of the interview, but you know, what is happening when it's not in full view, when so much is brazenly right in front of us and not being held accountable? People are not being held accountable for any of it because the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, the media for decades was known to be what, the fourth branch of government unofficially?
Yeah, the fourth estate.
And so now...
Now it's the fourth estate of government.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. And, you know, the ironic thing is, you know, I listened to a JFK speech he gave in New York City in 64 or 65, and he was addressing the press at a kind of a private ceremony, and he talked about the importance of that divide, and that the executive branch is responsible for itself, and the media is responsible for their selves, and that you know, and that they both have to be professional. They have to be mindful of national security.
I'm so sorry. We have about 30 seconds, and I really want to give you a chance. God, what a fascinating conversation. And it's a gutsy one, too. It shouldn't have to be. Tell everybody they can find you, follow
Thanks,
you,
Karen.
And get more Eric Karen.
Hey, well, Karen, people just go to Switched On Life, switchedonlife.com, and the book is there and the podcast. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share my experience with you, Karen.
You're a treasure. Thank you so much, Eric Karen. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition at 1 p.m. when there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.